Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, God on Tap.
All right, I have actually shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again because it's a perfect way to kind of start our morning. Many of you know that we have an orphanage in Haiti that we adopted as a church a few years ago, and we kind of helped take care of. It's just one of the ways we're kind of trying to give back to the world. Well, my wife and I went to visit that orphanage, I guess it's been about 2 years ago now, and we went with another couple. We went with David and Lisa Hughes. He's a pastor in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a church called Church by the Glades. And if you were here this summer when we did our Little Help from My Friends series, David was a part of that series. Phenomenal communicator. And they actually have helped us with our orphanage. They did a few things, and they were actually going down to get some footage of it. They invited us to go, and we went. It was really fantastic. But now, if you've ever been to Haiti, especially if you ever traveled in Haiti, it's a bit kind of like being on a roller coaster, but it's not fun. Like it's just crazy down there. Like the roads are bad and the traffic is awful, and you can't drive them. You kind of have to hire somebody to do your driving for you. And so we had been traveling in vans for the last couple of days, and it was the morning we were leaving, right? And the vans didn't show up. We had to get to the airport. And so we started making some phone calls, and the vans were super late. When the vans finally did get there, they didn't speak English. The drivers didn't speak English, and we had had a translator with us the whole trip, but the translator didn't come up that morning because the drivers were supposed to speak English. They didn't speak English, so we had to start figuring all that out. We loaded into vans, and we were already late. Everybody was afraid we were going to miss our flight, and the traffic was awful. Like it was bumper to bumper, and by this point, David's two older kids were with us, and they started to get really scared. They're like, "Man, we're going to miss our flight. What's going to happen?" And you know, David and Lisa are trying to calm them down, but also, yeah, what happens if you miss your flight in Haiti? Like, what do you do? Like, do we just live here now? And so, you know, everybody was trying to be all calm and everything, but it was kind of starting to get a little bad, and traffic never really got better. We got to the airport, we were already late, and the security lines were really long. And we were trying to figure out how to get through, and trying to get through as fast as we can. And we were doing that like American thing where we're like, yeah, we're late for our flight. Can we cut?" And they're like, "No, we're all late. Shut up." And so, you know, it was a really stressful time. Everybody's looking at their watch every 5 seconds, trying to figure out, are we going to get through this? Are we going to be able to make it? What are we going to do? What do we do? What do we do if the flight leaves? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So we finally get through security. We finally get to our gate. We finally get up there, and the plane's delayed an hour. I'll never forget what David's wife, Lisa, said. All that worrying for nothing. All that worrying, and now we have to wait. And what she was really saying is what I want to talk to you about today. And it's the fact that worry doesn't work. I know it doesn't work, and you know it doesn't work. You can worry all you want, but it's never going to change the future. You know what it is going to do? It's going to ruin the present. And so what we're going to talk about today is how we can begin to live a life free from worry. What's that you say? Free from worry? Is that possible? Well, I talked about it last week. You know, we began this series, God on Tap. And we talked about the fact that once we begin a relationship with Jesus, we have unlimited access to the God of the universe. Freely flowing in an unlimited supply. Everything your soul searches for and needs, Jesus says, I can provide. As much as you need for as long as you need it. And many of you made the decision last week to begin trusting Jesus for that in your life. And so what we're going to do beginning this week and the next couple of weeks is take specific issues that we all struggle with and really try to understand, okay, how do we do this? And today we're going to talk about peace. Peace is one of those things I said last week, that Jesus provides an unlimited supply. And peace is something you want and I want and we all desperately search for. We want that peace in our souls. We want freedom from that knot that just sits here and lives here and gnaws at you. Some of you have it so much, you don't even know why it's there. You have to sit back and think, well, is it about this or is it this? Well, no, today it's about this. Like, you don't know. It's just there. And we're all trying to get free from that anxiety, from that not, we're all trying to experience that peace, and we don't know how. For some of us, we try to experience that peace by saying, okay, if I make enough money, then I'm going to have financial security, and I'll have financial peace, and this will go away. And so you work hard, and sometimes you even, you know, blur the lines a little bit and cross into a gray area to get the deal done, and you make all this money, and you know what happens? Well, now you just need a little bit more, and then you'll have the peace. Others of us, what we do is we have to seek alcohol, or we over-medicate ourselves to try to find that emotional peace. Anything to just drown out the feelings that we have. Others will spy on their spouses. They don't know it, but I know what you're doing. You sneak behind them, you check the text just to make sure. You know their Facebook password. They don't know you know. Which there's nothing wrong with that. My wife can read any of my texts that she wants, but you're checking it because you're looking for some of that relational peace. You're saying, man, if I could just get a little bit more assurance, just a little bit more, then this will go away. Now, what if I were to tell you that it actually can go away? That it is actually possible for you to walk through life free from that nagging knot of anxiety, of worry, of despair that sits right here and weighs you down. Even if you didn't believe in God, even if you're here because you showed up to work out at the Y and you thought, work out, free donuts. I'll take free donuts. That sounds way better than the treadmill. And so you decided to sit out and hang out. Even if you don't believe in God, isn't the idea that you could walk through life free from that anxiety and that weight, isn't that intriguing? Isn't it worth 25 minutes of your time to find out if what I'm saying is true? Because I believe it is. And I believe the answer to this problem, the answer to finding this peace on tap, this peace that we desire in our souls, is not another method. It's not to try this or try that. It's not even to change the way you're thinking, really. The answer is a person. And his name is Jesus. And just like last week, and just like this week, just like every week, he is the answer to what you're searching for. Now, before I can really get to how that works, I kind of want us to all be on the same page about worry, because there are some people in this room I know who would consider themselves worriers. There are some people in this room who would just consider themselves very careful planners, and you are not worriers, right? I understand that. And there are some of you in the room that think any planning at all is worrying. And others of you think any worrying at all is simply planning. And everybody kind of lives in the spectrum. If you're married, what I tend to find is one spouse tends to worry a little more than the other spouse. And it's because of the worrying spouse that, like, your bills are paid and things like that. You know, the other one's just kind of, oh, whatever, it's going to be all good, you know. And that's just not the way it works. In fact, if you're not a worrier in the room, my guess is, you know, we all like music, but I bet you really love this song. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. But you love that song. Now, I wanna thank you for that. Yeah. Real quick, let's just break down the words to that song for a minute. Okay. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. No. The landlords say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't worry. Be happy about that. Don't worry. Be happy. Now, I don't always do this, but sometimes when it's appropriate, I will. I'm going to let Bill Cosby respond for me.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Folks, if the landlord is coming to evict you, worry. Do some work. Things have gone wrong. You don't need peace on tap. You need sense on tap. But it's funny because there's this struggle. There's this tension about, okay, what is it appropriate to worry about? What is it appropriate not to worry about? What is worry? What isn't worry? Are you saying I shouldn't plan? Are you saying I shouldn't be careful? And all the worriers in the room are elbowing your non-worriers in the room. I told you that was a dumb song. We should work. And all the non-worriers are like, man, it's going to be okay. Everything's always worked out. And so what I want us to do today is we've kind of got to find the center. We've kind of got to find the tension, right, between living a life that requires you to be medicated. See, this is what I know about the worriers in the room. You don't want to worry as much as you do. Over 11% of the U.S. population is on anti-anxiety medication right now. Actually, that number was from about 2010. I bet it's higher than that now. Right? And I know you don't want to go through life with so much anxiety that you have to take medicine to make it okay. But to the non-worriers in the room, I don't want you to walk through the life so loosey-goosey and so free from planning that you get evicted. And then your worrying spouse has to come help, or your worrying grandma, or we all got worrying grandmas, right? At some point, you hit an age, and there is no longer no worrying. They all worry. That is all they do, is worry. But I love them so much, so much. But now, what I think we can do today, what I think we can discover with God's help, is that there is a center, that there is a place you can live that you can walk through life responsible. You can walk through life handling your situations, handling your problems, anticipating even future problems, yet also live free from that crushing anxiety and that crushing worry that not everybody in the room, but most of us at some point in our lives, definitely me, has experienced. And as I said, the key isn't an idea. It's not a new way to believe. It's a person. And his name's Jesus. And in the first biography we have about his life, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 6, Jesus talks very specifically about this issue. He talks very specifically about worry. And he gives us this great example and this great truth that I hope as you hear it today and as God works in your life, it'll begin to set you free from the anxiety and the worry you have, and you will begin to discover that we really do have access to peace on tap whenever we need it. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6. If not, it's going to be up on the screen, just like always. And here's how Jesus starts. He says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about this stuff. I'm telling you not to worry about that stuff. And when you hear that, you see, don't worry. You think Jesus is going to say, be happy. But that's not what he's going to say. He has a way better idea. He says, don't worry. Instead, look at the birds. See ya. You're dismissed. See you next week. No. Look at the birds. What does that mean, Jesus? You're like supposed to be the son of God. You're supposed to help me out. And you're telling me not to worry and I'm all excited. And your answer is to look at birds? First time I read that, I was like, is that a typo? Is there an error in the Bible? What are you talking about, Jesus? Look at the birds. That doesn't make any sense at all. If you feel the same way, I understand. But let's cut Jesus some slack. He's pretty smart. Let's see what he has to say. He says, look at the birds. He says, they don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So he's saying, he says, look at the birds. We all know birds. We've all seen birds. Some of you own birds. Birds don't plan. They don't have calendars. They don't have schedules. They don't have checklists. They certainly don't worry about anything, yet they survive. The hood of my car indicates that they thrive. Now, how do they do this? Well, it says right there, your heavenly Father feeds them, so they don't worry. But you've seen birds. Do birds just sit around all day waiting to be fed? No. They get up every morning. In fact, the earliest bird gets the worm, I've been told my entire life. They get up, they go out, they hunt, they do what they have to do. You ever seen a bird build a nest, man? They work hard building that nest. If they have kids, they have baby birds, they come back and they feed the baby birds, and you got to stay away from the nest because if you touch the nest, the bird won't come back, or I've been told that. I don't know if it's true. It might have just been my mom's way to keep me away from the birds. I don't know. But they work until they get to the point where the baby birds are big enough, and then, with all parenting love in the world, they push them out of the nest. It's like, go, fly. But the birds, they don't worry. But they do work. They work hard. They work hard every day. They go out, they get what they have to get, they do what they have to do, but they never spend 1 second worrying about tomorrow. They just do what they can do today. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look at the birds. They don't worry. They do what they can do for the day, and my Father takes care of them. Then he says this, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And you would say, well, I would hope so. They're birds. Thank you, Jesus, for saying, I am better than a bird. But what Jesus is really saying, he's saying, look, we serve the God of the universe. He's in charge of everything. And if he has enough spare time to concern himself with the birds, and he has enough power to make sure that the birds have what they need and they don't have to worry about tomorrow, how much more do you think he's watching after you? And how much more do you think he's preparing for you and trying to take care of you and trying to provide for you? And then he reminds us, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can they? No. They didn't make the cargo faster. They didn't make the security line shorter in Haiti. But my worries ruined the trip. And that's what worry does. It doesn't work. What Jesus is saying, look at the birds. They don't worry and they're fine. You do worry and you are not fine. So try a different approach. He's saying, try something else. But remember, I said the something else isn't a thing, it's a person. That's okay. We're gonna get to that. But you do wonder, okay, Jesus, if you're telling us to look at the birds and you're telling us not to worry, are you telling us to be like the birds a little bit? And I believe Jesus is. I believe he's saying, okay, look at these guys. See how they do it? They've got something figured out. We don't. And so let's actually stop and think about birds for a minute. Like we said, birds can't worry. They don't worry. They're not worried about stuff, but they are working. They are doing everything they can do every single day. They are putting in effort every single day, but then they are trusting God for tomorrow. So here's really what I think Jesus is saying to us about worry. And I apologize in advance because it's very bad grammar. So if you're a grammarian, I'm sorry. But it's great theology, okay? So we're just gonna forgive each other today. Because this is what I think Jesus is trying to say. I think what he's trying to tell us is to work, don't worry. Because worry, don't work. I told you it was bad grammar. But think about it. He's saying work, don't worry. Because worry, don't work. What he's saying is, look, get up every day and think and plan. And do what you can do to accomplish what you want to accomplish that day. Do everything you can do in your power to accomplish the purposes and to accomplish the plans and things going on in your life. But then remember, you don't have the power to control the future, so stop pressuring yourself into believing you do. Because that's really what worry is. Worry is when you're fretting over things that might happen in the future that you don't have the power to change anyway. If you have the power to change it, that's not worry, that's planning. See, one of the reasons birds don't worry is because they don't have the capacity to worry. Their brains aren't big enough to worry. But our brains are, and our brains are gifted. Man, we have the ability to create future scenarios and to see future problems before they happen and to create possible outcomes and to try to work our brains to figure out how it might work. And I'm telling you right now, folks, that's not worry, that's planning. And there is nothing wrong with planning. We are called to plan. We're called to work. Work, don't worry. Because worry, don't work. But we are called to work. We are called to try. Now you may wonder, okay, now which is it? Is it don't worry or is it plan more? Well, let me give you a very simple statement to help, all right? The problem is we worry about things that aren't real. We plan when things are real. Let me say it this way. A real problem always has a real source and a real solution. So when you're feeling anxiety about life, if the anxiety you're having is over a real problem with a real source and a real solution, work, don't worry, and try to accomplish the real solution. If you are at home and your roof gets a leak, it is not worrying to try to fix the leak. It is smart to try to fix the leak. Now, if you're at home and a storm comes and you freak out because your roof might get a leak, that's worrying. And what Jesus is saying is you don't have to do that. You don't have to spend your time and your energy fretting over things that might happen, because I'm there. I take care of the birds. How much more do you think I'm going to take care of you? That's what he's saying. When you have confusion, when you have concerns, if there's a real step to take, if there's a real solution to the problem, then do it. Act on it. Work, just like the birds do. But if what you're experiencing is just anxiety and just funk and just over things that might happen and could have happened, and she sort of said, and this might happen in the future, and well, I heard that there might be a hurricane in the Atlantic, and I have people that live in Baltimore, so in about 2 weeks, they might all be dead. Like, that's crazy is the word I'll use. But it's so easy for us to just walk into that, right? It's so easy for us to just wrap our brains around this worry, and we get so consumed by it that we ignore what it is God actually wants us to do for that day. And God is begging us. He's saying, hey, no. Work. Do what you can do, but don't worry. Because worry doesn't work anyway, and you know it doesn't work. Now, how do we actually tap into this? Right? This is really easy to say. It's really hard to do. And that's why Jesus kind of wraps it up. See, Jesus talks about birds, then he talks about flowers. He's making the same point. And then he ends it this way. Here's what he says. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. See, part of it is we have to begin to take charge of our own life. And we have to begin to take charge of our own thoughts. And when the anxiety comes up, we don't ask, should I worry about this? We ask, can I work on this? And when we don't know the answer, we seek the kingdom of God above all else. What does that mean very specifically? It means we go to the source. It means we go to Jesus. And we say, hey, Jesus, I'm struggling right now. I'm nervous. I've got an anxiety. I don't know what I should do. What do you think I should do? We seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. He's saying, hey, I'm right here. Ask me. Just ask me. You're concerned about that? Ask me about it. You worried about that? Talk to me about it. I'm here. That's what I want to do. I want to help you with this. In fact, the Apostle Paul kind of takes this one step further. Paul was this guy who was a pastor in the early church, and he would write letters to people, and we have these letters now. He'd write letters to churches, and we believe that God was speaking through Paul when he would write those letters. And we can read those letters 2,000 years later, and we can know what God wants us to do in our lives. And he wrote a letter to the church at Philippi, okay? And in that letter, he kind of picks up right here where Jesus leaves off. And here's what he says we should do. Here's his suggestion for how we can seek the kingdom of God above all else. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Just think about that for a minute. What if every time you had a worry, every time you had anxiety, every time fear popped up inside you and all those things, what if your immediate thought was, I got to pray about this. I got to go to the source of my peace. See, what we do is every time we have anxiety, we want to solve it. And we want to call our accountant. Or we want to call our lawyer. Or we want to call a banker. or we want to call a doctor, or we want to call anything we can who we think might can fix it. And sometimes that's what we should do. If you're having chest pains and your left arm is numb, you need to call a doctor and pray on the way. But what if, when the anxiety started coming up, what if we could train ourselves? We could believe that God is really telling us the truth when he says we have him on tap, when he says we have peace on tap, that he can provide that for us. What if we could train ourselves to truly believe that and to truly live that out and to pray about everything, to tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done, to go to God and say, God, I am nervous. I don't know what to do. Will you help me? And maybe this will help you. Prayer equals work. That is working on the problem. So we don't think that. We think we need to pray and then work. But what we miss is that prayer is work. Prayer is probably the most effective work we can do when we have anxiety, when we have those issues coming up. Because we're talking to the only person in the universe that can actually change the future. And he's saying, talk to me. Come to me. Let me help you. He's saying, seek me first. He's saying, pray about everything. And then he says this. He says, then you will experience God's peace. The peace which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, the only way to experience the peace he offers is to seek him first, is to go to him first. And instead of worrying about things, praying about things, and saying, all right, Jesus, it's on you, man. I need you to help me. And then you experience God's peace. The peace your souls were designed to experience. The peace you've been trying to fill with money or with relationships or with medication. You're only going to experience it when you seek Jesus first. Because the key to peace on tap isn't an idea. It isn't a change of attitude or behavior. Peace on tap comes through a person. And his name is Jesus. And what he's saying to you and to me today is when anxiety arises in you, work. Don't worry. Because worry don't work. He's saying, own it. Work on that anxiety. What's the first step in our work? To turn to him. To pray. Say, all right, Jesus, I'm working now. I'm nervous. I'm anxious. I'm worried about this. What do you say? And here's what's going to happen. Sometimes when you pray and you ask God, what should I do about this? He's going to very clearly speak to you and say, well, you could start with this. You could handle this aspect of the situation. And that's when you get to work. As hard as you can, just like the birds. See, this isn't an excuse not to try hard. It's not an excuse not to plan. Jesus is just setting you free from the idea that you can control the future. Because you can. But guess what? He can. And he will. And he wants to. But he's far more interested in his relationship with you than some future scenario. But the more we work, the more we pray, the more we seek him first, the more we begin to trust. And the more we begin to know, hey, he is with me. He is on this. And you're going to have days, you're going to have weeks where it gets harder than others. You're going to have times where it is so much anxiety, you don't know what to do. And that's why he's giving us this visual reminder that we're literally surrounded by. Look at the birds. They're everywhere. And what Jesus is saying is, I want that to remind you every day. They don't worry. And look at them. And God loves me more. And so I don't have to worry either. I do have to work. I do have to work. I do have to try my hardest. I do have to seek him with it. I do have to ask for his guidance. I do have to trust his leadership. But when I've done that, he's going to give me a peace I can't even explain. I grew up in church, and we called it the peace that passes understanding. Because it doesn't make sense. Because it's peace regardless of your circumstances. It's peace when you should be losing it. It's peace when nothing makes sense. but it's peace because it doesn't have to make sense to you because it makes sense to your God. It makes sense to the only one who can fix it, to the only one who can change it. And he's saying, I got your back. I loved you enough to die for you. I knew everything you'd ever do, every mistake you'd ever made, and I died for you anyway. You can trust me with this. And we have that peace on tap, freely available in unlimited supply. So here's my challenge for you this week, and then we're going to sing a song and we're done. Here's my challenge. You have a lot of worries. I have a lot of worries. You have a lot of issues that keep you up at night and give you anxiety. I want you to pick one. Just one. I want you to pick one and begin today to pray about it. To begin today to talk to God and say, God, you know this is on my mind. If there's anything I need to be doing right now for this issue, please show me. And will you also please give me this peace that passes understanding, Father? Teach me to trust that you have this under control. Help me walk through life free from worry. Help me experience peace on top. And here's what's going to happen. I promise you, if you do that for 1 week, in one area, I'm not even saying all of them, one area for 1 week, and every time it comes up, every time the fear comes up, every time the pain, you immediately work on it. You work and you pray. You say, all right, God is yours. God is yours. Please take this. You'll never go back. You'll never go back because you'll begin to experience that freedom and that peace that you were designed to experience, that your souls were designed to live in. And you'll start to add another thing and another thing until, before you know it, every fear and weight in your life, you will have surrendered to God. You will have asked for His guidance on. You will be praying about everything. And He will be filling your life with that peace that is freely and fully available to you and to me. So tomorrow, this afternoon, on Tuesday when you remember the fight you had with your boss, on Wednesday when you get the call about the deal that's going to happen a month from now, Thursday, when something goes terribly wrong and you don't know how you're going to fix it, before you freak out, before you worry, remember, work. Don't worry. Because worry doesn't work. Work. Don't worry. Work. Don't worry. Jesus, I hand it to you. The only way to receive peace on tap is to take it. It's to reach out for it. And my prayer is that's what you'll do. Because it is there, fully and freely available, in unlimited supply. So as we close today, we're going to close with a song. And my prayer is as you even sing this song, as you let these words speak to you, that you'll begin crying out to Jesus. You'll begin asking Him to heal you. And that you will begin to feel, you will begin to experience that peace that passes all understanding. That peace that doesn't make any sense, because it's peace that comes from God. It is an assurance from Him that if He can take care of the birds, He'll take care of you. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We just thank you. We thank you that how much you love us. We thank you that your challenge to us to trust you, to work, but not worry. Father, because we know worry doesn't work. May we decide in our hearts right now that you are the answer, that you are who we should seek, that you are the solution. May we run to you. And as we run to you, may you fill us with the undeniable peace that comes from your Holy Spirit and free us from these shackles of anxiety and worry. We love you, Father. We just ask you to make yourself real to us today. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church Podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.